from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is strongly considering a binge watch of Braxton Family Values. I am Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to night number 3 of our Celebrity Big Brother coverage. And we have a house that is spiraling out of control, both in what we see tonight on the show and on the live feeds. And I can't wait to talk about it all tonight with our panel, because I'm very excited to talk to this person that I have a final two deal with. Please welcome Brent. Welcome out. Brent, how are you?
Yeah, I'd like to name our final two deal.
Oh my God. I forgot that Liana Boris is here. Oh, I didn't even see you down there.
I don't stand for final two deals between the two of you or yiddy yaddling. So if you're going to try to pull that on me, not here for it.
Okay. All right. Very excited to have Liana here with us. Brent, sorry to cut you off there, but I was busted.com.
Yeah, busted.com, busted. Yes, that's what Tamar giving me all the life in the diary room this episode, Rob.
So good. She's so good. She's the best. I don't know what my life was like before that there was Tamar Braxton in it, but I'm so happy that she's here. So happy to talk about all that and much more with you all tonight. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions in the show. Scott St. Pierre is standing by to talk about a very busy night in the world of Big Brother. A lot to talk about in terms of everything that we've learned here in the last 24 hours with you. And of course, we're getting ready for our first forecast is calling for a winter. Winter is coming. The winter of Stein is coming your way soon. So we want to hear from you. Get your questions in for Eric Stein and I when we get together for the first winter of Stein of Celebrity Big Brother. Use hashtag winter of Stein on Twitter, or you can email questions to the show winterofstein@robhasawebsite.com. The more we hear from you, the better those shows are. We'd love to get all of that feedback. Let's check in, Liana. How are you feeling about Celebrity Big Brother through 72 hours of this wonderful television show?
Well, the first 72 hours have been wonderful. I can't get enough of some of the celebrities, although I feel like there hasn't been anyone that I'm super, super crazy about. But as a cast, I think that they're really strong, although obviously there are some things that have happened, which I don't know when we can talk about. But overall, it's been really fun. And I love Celebrity Big Brother because it feels like there's no stakes and it's just completely silly, even more so than regular Big Brother. So I can be here for it. I'm here for the twists. I don't mind.
Okay. All right. So we're going to open things up. We'll talk about the TV show, everything that we saw tonight, and then a lot to talk about in terms of what we've gone on. We've seen go on with the live feeds here as well on a very busy Wednesday night on the Celebrity Big Brother recap. We'll be back again Friday night to recap the first eviction, live eviction show of the season come Friday night. But Brent, we got to see the power of veto played, not used tonight. Ricky Williams walks away with the power of veto, but I think that the big story is this is a house in turmoil.
Yes, it's a house in turmoil. Also, it's the feeds in turmoil as well. I take Leona's point that, of course, you know, we always do like usually like half of the show and then half spoilers at the end. But I will just say, without spoiling anything, that we probably shouldn't spend too much time on the show, Rob, because really what's happening right now on the show has no bearing on what's probably going to happen at the end of this week. So I'd like to casually move along and
let's at least touch on the 60 minutes of television that we got to see tonight, because I think there were things that were worth talking about, even though in a house as chaotic as this, if this is a moving target that we're trying to discuss.
Well, let's talk about what happened last night, because last night we were here, you, me, and Taryn Armstrong, and we got a question that said, did Jonathan make a mistake in exerting his influence over trying to make sure that Dina wasn't on the block? And I said, I think it was a mistake. You probably shouldn't have done that. If she's going to be safe anyway, why does it matter? If you're just needing somebody to sit next to you, you've got your alliance. Taryn was like, no, I think it actually wasn't a good idea.
As soon as you said last night, I knew this was not only going to be a Brent was right story, but also a Taryn was wrong story.
I like to point out when Taryn is wrong, because he's wrong. He should not have done this if he wasn't going to be able to talk to his alliance. And
I think you're saying that Taryn shouldn't have said that if he wasn't going to be here.
Well, that too. But it's more fun to have him here because he never ever admits when he's wrong, or at least I think maybe.
Okay, let's make it.
Anyways, the point is that Jonathan used his influence. He exerted his influence over Ryan. And the girls rightly caught on to the fact that that was Jonathan's doing, that wasn't Ryan's doing, that Dina wasn't on the block as previously agreed to by them and their alliance.
Yeah.
And they were having second thoughts about the fact that, well, who's really running the show here? And why did you do that behind our back? So, I know Taryn's going to complain about the twist, but as John Densford said on Twitter, it's not the twist that's screwing Jonathan Bennett over here. It's his bad play. Yeah. And oftentimes it only takes one bad play in order to send you out the door. And I think that's what's happening right now.
Leanna, part of that discussion last night, I was talking about how, you know, it is sort of like a classic Big Brother story where an HOH and a person that goes up on the block, where if the house sees that person as, no, that's just, they're just trying to put that person up as a pawn. If it becomes transparent, whether it's a situation like Mike Boogie and Cheryl in Big Brother 2, or the LaVita situation in Big Brother Canada 4, we've definitely seen this happen before, and it looks like that's certainly a possibility here in week one of Celebrity Big Brother 2.
Yeah. This is a classic overplay, a trope that we see classic time and time again, much like Brent versus Taryn. It comes back over and over again. We can never get rid of it, even though sometimes we're just sick of hearing about it, even though we have to. I think the point of, oh, it's not the twist's fault, it's Jonathan's fault, is completely valid. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, it sucks. He was put up on the block. But then when you're going to go and overplay like this, well, then you did this to yourself. I mean, really, all he had to do was try to play safe. Just get those people together. Try to make an alliance that will keep him safe. You can use that negotiating power as a potential HOH before that second comp was played. And then you're golden. So I think the fact that he really pushed it, he sealed his own fate by doing this.
Yeah, or let useless... I was going to say worthless, but I won't. Diana Lohan could have just gone up on the block. She was right there. She's not even on the show.
She's not on the show. Somehow more, she has less airtime than Ricky Williams, which is amazing. Right? But the fact that she didn't know Jonathan Bennett's name on the feeds, I think she called him the mean girls guy.
That's his second mom.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jonathan is seen. Brent, I think he's getting a bad edit too.
He's getting a bad edit too. Yeah, they're not doing him any favors with the way he's they're showing him walking into rooms. And when he and Ryan walked into that room with the girls, of course, we don't know this for a fact, but I don't believe it was really that awkward. I don't think that they walked in the room and Lolo just said, okay, girls, let's go. I have to believe that something else was said and they just cut it out. So not a good edit for Jonathan. And I said at the beginning of the season, look, I don't know if he's going to go home or not. And things are still very much up in the air. Who knows if he's going to even be there? But I will say that I said at the beginning of the season that he looks like the guy that's going to be in the diary room laughing at them all like Ross did last year on Big Brother. And they don't want to see that happen again. These celebs, especially somebody who's a super fan like Tamar, she's not here for that. She's not going to let that happen. She ain't stupid.
I don't know. Yeah, well, definitely not. But Leanna, I don't even think that's part of it. I think that he is being too transparent with his scheming in the house. And I think that this is like a Nick Juhas. He's seen as somebody who everybody just wants to get rid of because it looks like that he is trying too hard to work it.
Oh, yeah. Which Work It is the song that he would reference, since all of his references are from, out of time.
Cupcake Wars.
He's the cupcakes guy. How dare you? Mm-hmm. He's so smart. Yeah, it definitely seems that he painted a big target on his back because he was shown to be influencing Ryan's nominations. Now, not that that seems to be particularly hard to do, but because Ryan had already spilled the plan, then it's, Jonathan is going to come in and do his look. Apparently, he did a look, which is going to signal that, Ryan needs to do a different set of nominations that Jonathan is clearly in control of.
Mm-hmm. So we also got to see a lot of turmoil between now there was not a disruption when we saw Eva Marie come to Lolo and talk about her final two while Tamar was in the room. Brent, I thought that was such a classic moment. So funny.
Oh, it's so funny. Last night on the show, Taryn even said something about, I can't remember who it was, but he was like, you know, she's not going to be Kevin Martin's or Cindy, you know, Cindy with an S on, like, which is exactly what happened on Big Brother Canada when she started talking when Kevin Martin was in the bathroom. It was Tamar and Candy. But oh my God, this was so great. This was so great. Rob, I didn't even know Tamar was there. Like, that, I was like,
camouflage is a good strategy.
I know. I was like, well, I just thought they were going to talk about their alliance name. I didn't even notice that she was there. And then I saw Lolo going, and then I'm like, oh, and then it was just like, oh, and then like at that point, you know what? If you get busted, just admit it. Like, just admit it. Yeah, we were talking about a final two. You know, we're close. We're tight. And just, it's week one. Deal with it later on. Don't get defensive about it. I thought she played both of them, Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie, played it badly. But
yeah, let me play that moment from tonight.
Okay. You have to think of a final two name. Final two.
And this was Eva Marie's cover.
I knew you were in here.
Bitch, it's been a day today.
Leon, I thought that Tamar handled it so well. Like, you know, she has the whole thing with Candy, which we'll talk about. But I really thought that she handled this like as good as you possibly could.
Yeah, I think so, too. And she made a joke about it, but didn't believe them when Natalie tried to cover it up with something else that, oh, well, I didn't actually mean to say final two. Mm-hmm. No, Tamar was there calling him out, busted.com, which maybe that should be the name, like she said, of their final two.
Yeah.
Put out an ad on busted.com.
Yes, I know the name of the final two. Busted.com. Y'all busted.
Like, Liana, all three of them played this bad. Like, the two of them were defensive as hell about the fact that they got busted with their final two. But Tamar also should have just said, okay, yeah, like, I mean, she knows that they were busted, but she should try to turn down the awkwardness, let them live in their lie. You know they lied. Put that in your mind for later on. Don't worry about it. You don't need to call them out right
now,
girl.
Funny. But then things got really crazy when she talked about how she said, I know you guys got a final two. It's fine. And then they said, well, you have a final two with Candy. She's like, well, don't say that. I'll punch you in the throat. And then, oh, God, so it's like, what'd you say? You punched me in the throat.
What'd you say? Yeah.
Didn't she get into a bar fight, though? Or a fight?
She is a fighter. She is a fighter, Lolo Jones. Make no mistake.
Yeah, we looked that up last time. We thought that was fake news, and then I was like literally going to the phone. Like Melissa was right. Yeah.
Yeah. No. That was so funny. And then, you know, and I don't think it was strategy, but such a great, it ended up being, I think, a great move for Lolo Jones, where she was sort of like implicated in this final two. And the conversation ended with Tamar having to apologize to Lolo Jones. I'm like, no, I don't mean it. I don't want to fight. No, I'm your friend. Remember? So yeah, good move to get really pissed off about something.
Lots of people, Liana, are very good at being the victim in the Big Brother house. And I think the people who are the best at it are the celebrities, because they're all of these girls in this room. They know how to play the victim really well, especially Tamar, especially Lolo Jones.
Mm-hmm. They're all so innocent.
Right?
No one is at fault.
Yeah.
Okay. So we ended up going with, then for some reason, and I don't really know how this happened, but Lolo got very upset all of a sudden that Lochte and Jonathan, they seem to have been together constantly. And she just reached a breaking point that Lochte was supposed to be her friend. She didn't like that Lochte had been stolen from her, Brent.
This is so dumb. I literally tweeted about this. She's so dumb. So, okay, like, listen to what you're saying in the diary room. She's like, well, you know, he just met Jonathan like 5 minutes ago and he's got in a final two deal with him. I don't understand that. Meanwhile, you have a final two deal that you just got busted for with Natalie Eva Marie, who you just met 5 minutes ago. Are you even listening to your hypocrisy right now?
Nope. They have Olympic bonds, Brent.
Well, that's fine, but you each got your side piece, okay? You got your side piece, you got an Olympic bond, and each one of you's got a side piece. Why can't he have a side piece? Why are you the only person that's allowed to have a side piece? Liana, What is going on here?
Well, I was expecting then Lolo Jones to threaten to punch Lockie in the throat. And that's how we would somehow solve it. And everything just sort of comes full circle.
And then Lochte wasn't having it. He was not able to smooth things over with Lolo. She was acting out.
This is so, again, Leon, I don't know what's going on here. Again, we don't have feeds for the first week or so we don't know. And it looks like that, I mean, the way they presented this conversation was like things got awkward. Lolo flipped off him and Jonathan's picture. And then they never talked about it again? I mean, I have to believe he went to her and said, hey, we're cool, right? Because I'm getting into spoilers, but there's reasons why they might distrust them moving forward. And it looks like they just sort of left it here. We don't know if there was any resolution to that. I have to believe that there was some resolution at some point.
I have no idea. It seems like everything was really swept under the rug. But yeah, the Lolo Jones going and flipping off the memory wall was very bizarre. And
never
so, I don't know. But then did she specifically point at Jonathan and Ryan's pictures? Is that why they thought that she was flipping them off specifically?
I don't know. I've only watched it one time. And to be honest, I didn't watch it that closely. But the point is, it's all about perception in the Big Brother house. And Ryan perceived it as her flipping him off. And things are awkward between them. They've apparently never talked about it. So
yeah,
I'd like to see him talk.
And so, Liana, now that Lochte wants the veto used so he could put Lolo up on the block.
Yeah, apparently that is a thing that happened, which was something I was not expecting just based on other events. But watching the show, I was like, how dare you turn on a fellow Olympian?
Olympic bond.
The Olympic bond. Does that even mean anything anymore? How dare you?
No. Apparently not.
No, it doesn't.
Apparently not. And so word ends up getting back to Lolo by way of Tamar that, hey, Lochte is coming for you. And Lolo is so pissed. And we go into the veto and we get to see I thought this was a fun veto. Fun enough. I thought that the celebrities, the different strategies, I thought that this one kept my interest, Brent.
Yeah, I guess it was okay. Maybe it's because of the fact that I knew who won the veto because by then I had been spoiled by it by the live feeds. But I thought I would like to see them get a little bit more foolish. I feel like the week one veto is all the time where you get gross and nasty and, you know, slime all over you or whatever. I feel like this would have been more fun than something that just was them bucking on a horse. This is like week five or week six.
Yeah, hey,
week
it one. Wasn't a horse. That was a Bronco, Brent.
And then I see six Broncos. For the last 25 years, I've been trying to avoid Broncos.
Yeah, I'm so glad you found a way to work that in, Kato. Forgot you were on the show. Oh, my God.
I would love to.
Because remember, he lived with OJ.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that OJ murder? Remember that?
I would just love to see the list of all of the things to work in. It's like, okay, so what are we going to reference today? Being on the stand, the Bronco? Nope, I already got that one. Living this house, the glove. I don't know. What do we have left?
We'll get it all. We'll get to it all.
And a lot of people who like watch the Big Brother show, they probably don't even know about what the Bronco thing is. They don't like that. They just remember that OJ was not guilty in the trial and the glove doesn't fit and you must acquit kind of thing. Like I guarantee you ask people.
This is the 25th anniversary of the White Bronco.
Well, I lived through the Bronco chase myself, but I'm dating myself by saying that. But I doubt the people who watch Big Brother, that CBS is going after, really know what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, I don't think you know much about the demographics of the CBS network, right?
We'll see.
Also, Liana, remind me to never use a toilet if I ever visit Trump Tower.
The thing that looks like a Trump toilet seat, like from Trump Tower.
What is Scaramucci talking about? In what universe does the veto look like the shape of a toilet seat?
Yeah, okay. So this is very Ryan Lochte logic where I feel like all of the little pieces were sort of there. Like there's gold bars. Okay, I get that. And then was it because the horseshoe is sort of the shape of a toilet seat, but it's upright and turning? So I don't know how you would use that particular facility if that's what's really in the Trump Tower, but I can't put it all together.
Oh, Rob, seriously, this is like last night when we were talking about the fact that he has to shoehorn in
horseshoe
Trump references. Like, they're so awkward and bad. It's just, It's just like, I feel like I'm watching Last Comic Standing and like I'm waiting for you to get voted off. It's just terrible. Oh,
he's mooch-tastic.
I'd rather have him say that than some stupid reference that looks like a Trump toilet seat. And then during the veto draw, he also tried to like get some sort of attention by doing some karate or kung fu or something, and like totally out of place. Like, what are you doing? Oh, sorry.
Okay.
He was being mooch-tastic.
All right. So Ricky Williams is going to win the veto. So we end up taking a whole sidebar here with Candy and Tamar. Brent, you laid everything out last night on the show. Did you feel like that what they talked about tonight was consistent with the story that you had heard?
I mean, there's obviously other things that have happened. The point is they got beef. That's all you need to know. Like, I mean, I tried to explain it last night. And even then, I feel like the show didn't do a very good job of explaining anything. Like, I mean, to hear them tell it was something about you disrespected me. And she's like, I didn't. How are you supposed to think that I'm supposed to be able to mind read you? I don't know what you're thinking. And like, it's just two people who obviously just have friction with each other. They don't like each other. They can't read each other's mind. They have no empathy for each other. And they shouldn't be working together. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
I still don't get it. I still don't understand what's happening, but I love Tamar so much because she was very upset after her conversation with Candy. And this is what she felt like, that Candy was cackling at her.
You try to be social and try to be nice, and it's what? Oh, I told you. I ain't coming for all that cackling and hackling.
Leon, she sounds like a malfunctioning Westworld robot.
Yeah, right. I don't know what all the sound effects were really supposed to be. Yeah, not entirely sure. I was actually excited initially for this segment because I was like, oh, finally, we'll get clarity on their beef.
Nope.
Didn't happen. We just got Westworld noises. That was all we got.
Yeah. Brent, I don't know if Candy's handling this well either. Like, Tamar is obviously upset. We don't really understand. And Candy's just like, all right, I tried. Whatever. Let's just agree to disagree.
That's all she should do. She just should try to say, you know what? It's okay. I'm sorry I made you feel that way. We're playing a game. I'm trying to get to the end. I don't want any friction with you. Like, I mean, think that in her own head and just say, you know what? I apologize. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And I hope you can accept that. But instead, she's got to laugh and explain and justify and laugh some more and cackle and then get defensive when she is laughing about the fact that, well, you know, you should understand why I'm laughing because you're so stupid right now, which, of course, isn't going to make someone like Tamar feel very good. So this whole thing, again, two terrible players who I drafted, by the way, back to back. I mean, like, God bless them. They're providing us lots of entertainment. But as far as entertainment goes, I'm Team Tamar. But as far as like reality and groundedness, I'm Team Candy.
Yeah, I don't want to hear anything bad about Tay Tay. Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna pull that clip, but yeah, that was great. I'm not here. Tay Tay, don't play that. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
She's so good.
Like, I know what's going on. I'm not gonna get laughed at, Liana.
Liana, I feel like that she is the star of the show, Tamar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially with the dip in Tom Green confessionals, they must have been like, okay, we heard Brent enough with the ball jokes, so they like dipped on him
again.
So yeah, I mean, she's really standing out. This is why she's so entertaining on reality television. She has all those one-liners. She's entertaining. She brings her own sound effects, and always has commentary for everything, and can elevate a situation from 0 to 10 or 0 to 100 in only a few seconds, which is.
It's the facial expressions too, Liana. It's just like everything about this is all you want to see. And she's just giving you this and this and this. And like, I'm here for it. I mean, I feel like I know she's playing it up and I'm still here for it.
Yes. And even when you can't even see her eyes with those window sized sunglasses that she was wearing in the gym, you still want to watch her in the confessionals. Yeah.
So here's the subplot we didn't see coming. Ricky Williams with the veto, and then he wants to go tell Lolo he's gonna narc on Lochte, that Lochte wants the All Guys Alliance. And why? Why does Ricky Williams do this?
So tell Lolo what happened, mainly because I think I just like to stir the pot.
He just likes to stir the pot, Ricky?
This was so off character.
That's it?
Leona.
Just stir it?
Oh, it's off character?
I mean, Well, I mean, like, I feel like he's been such a piece of wallpaper this entire time. And, like, he can't – he's just not here. Like, watching him for the little bit of time I have on the feeds, he's not here for people's shenanigans. For him to intentionally want to stir the pot, I felt like was out of character for him to do. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he had to settle for stirring the pot. I don't know exactly what he got in his contract. But he did also say that other people have a very low tolerance for stress, which I don't know if there's some performance.
You gotta build up your tolerance.
You have to, yeah, exactly. So he clearly seems that, I mean, he's here to play, and he is also on, you know, I've seen him a little bit on the feeds. He's very direct, but still very calm. I don't know why, but that is definitely his personality. Yes.
And then, but Rick Williams again at the end of the episode went back to this.
That said, having the power of veto really helped me leverage relationships and stir the pot a little bit.
He's obsessed with this pot, Brent.
Yes, I'm reading the chat. Apparently, I missed a pot joke along the way. Thank you, chat, for pointing that out. But yes, stirring the pot. You know that we say that 1,000 times on Big Brother, so I wasn't here for it, but. I'm here now. I'm here. I got it. Yeah. But he likes to stir in that pot. I guess he just wants to stir it.
Yeah. Making a cloud of trouble wherever he goes.
It's a haze. Yeah,
but I like that Ricky Williams is a mischief maker here and really ends up getting all of the women back on the same page. And we saw like that little schism between Candy and Tamar. And they were like, hey, we can't worry about this. We got bigger fish to fry because we got to get Lochte. We got to go after him. But we can't get Lochte now. But we can go after Jonathan, who's sitting there on the block.
Yeah, he's just being the perfect instigator for all of this drama. Like, we already started to see some of the seeds, but the fact that it was Ricky Williams, of all people, that really managed to sort of push things in this direction, I think is really hilarious, considering I don't think he was in the first two episodes of the show.
Yeah,
right. So,
ultimately, Ricky Williams does not use the veto. Brent, I think that Ricky Williams was a little indignant in his veto speech. He's like, hey, none of you guys made a good enough case for me to use it on you.
Yeah, I'm like, I just wanted him to not say anything. Like, you sound terrible right now. Like, you sound indignant and you sound entitled. Like, why are you talking?
Mm-hmm. Shut up. Ricky Williams just has high expectations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So high. Leon is in the diary room. Yeah. One other thing from the episode. This was, I think, another Big Brother first. Brent, correct me if I'm wrong. We had a scene between Jonathan and Lochte where Jonathan is laughing so hard at Lochte, he can no longer control his bodily functions. Here's another clip.
Oh my.
I just saw someone farted. Brent, have we had a Big Brother contestant break wind on the televised show in 20 seasons plus two celebrity seasons? Is this a first?
I have to believe it's a first. Unfortunately, it's not my first this week. That happened earlier this week with me and my mom, where I made her laugh and she tooted. And that's what my mom calls it. And so she's like, oh, I tooted. And she did it again. And then she tooted. It was so funny. So that goodness happening, it's like, Leon, it's no big deal.
Leon, is it possible that is Jonathan playing so hard that he is resorting to potty humor to solidify his bond with Lochte? He's like, oh, I know what Lochte will really love. Let me do a fart joke here.
That was his appeal to Lochte. Yes. Actually, that's probably a good idea.
Play the room.
You know, yes, there's no block softeners that he could take. So I think that he had to go with something else to try to stay in the good graces of Ryan Lochte, the decorated Olympic athlete.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we want to get to everything that's going on. A lot of news and stuff to talk about from what's going on the feed. So rather than get into questions, we want to start to get towards our spoiler section. So we're going to end the episode episode discussion a little bit early. We're going to hit the spoiler music. We're going to talk about stuff that's going on from the live feeds, if that's okay with everybody. So if you are particularly spoiler averse, I guess we will see you on Friday. But for everybody else, I got a lot to talk about still here tonight with Brent and Liana and your questions here coming up now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. All right. Lots to talk about here as a busy, newsy night here with Celebrity Big Brother. And Brent, we'll start with our top story at this hour, the Mooch. What? What happened to the Mooch?
Understand, this is crazy. We've had feeds for almost 24 hours right now, and we still don't know exactly what's happened with the Mooch. Has left the building. He is literally out of the Big Brother house. His picture is now gray on the memory wall. He is out of the game. We don't know how it happened. We have a few different things that we know. Number one, Big Brother addressed it as a twist at the end of tonight's episode. Now, we don't know that they were talking about the Mooch, but they did say,
yeah, let me play that clip. I pulled that as well. Big Brother announcer dropped another bombshell on us at the end of the episode tonight.
Plus, a shocking new twist will send a second celebrity packing.
Okay, a shocking new twist will send a second celebrity packing.
Well, okay, there's a couple different ways to take this. And they could be talking about the Mooch leaving and a celebrity being evicted on Friday night, or they could be talking about the fact that there are, because they've been insistent about the fact that there are three people on the block, not two people, because with all of the shenanigans, which we'll get into this week, Ryan at one point asked the diary room, like, hey, can I just not name another nominee? Because I'm going to use another veto's being up for grabs here. And they were insistent on there being three people on the block. So it could be that. Let's just try to confine our discussion to the Mooch. The Mooch is out of the house. The house guests apparently think that he was a mole or a saboteur. And the reason they think that is because apparently he said that, or they took that from what he said when he exited the house. The other piece of information we have is that he was seen in Davos, Switzerland earlier today. And there was, and of course, some people were passing around a previous interview from last year. That was fake news. But the real news was I did see him talking to one of the newscasters today in Davos, where he addressed the Big Brother house, the fact that he didn't make it a full 11 days there. And that you're gonna have to tune in to see. So he left it as a little bit of a cliffhanger, so he's definitely not there anymore, and we don't even know if he was a player to begin with, Rob.
Okay, so yes, there is a big World Economic Forum which is taking place, and this is just so weird, Liana, that where I don't really understand how, if the Mooch potentially quit, which is the best theory that we have at this point, how he could so quickly get over to the World Economic Forum, where I guess that I'm not sure if his company has does stuff there every single year, Skybridge. But not only that, that he seems to be almost like that they were expecting him, that he is back in the mix, that he is not like, oh, unexpected. It seems like that he is, from what I understand, like he is hosting panels there.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to point out real quick for Liana, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Rob, I have to take issue with the fact that you think the top story is that he quit. Liana, there was a second competition that was played, a second veto that was played that either may or may not have been Mooch themed. So to me, it doesn't look like he quit. To me, it looks like he was never there to begin with. What say you?
Okay, so this is all super bizarre. So trying to put together a couple more of the facts. So there was a preview of the feeds on Monday. And the Mooch was still in the house at the time. Yes. So we know that he was in the house Monday morning. But Rob, like you said, he shows up at this economic forum, which is in Davos, Switzerland, on Tuesday night. So sometime between Monday morning LA time and the evening in Davos, Switzerland on Tuesday, he was able to make it there, which just seems absolutely crazy if he quit to then have made it all the way over there to, like you said, Brent, host some panels, or then also he was like hosting this party because SkyBridge, his company, apparently every single year hosts this party. And he has previously tweeted about the fact that he every single year goes to Davos, Switzerland for this economic forum. So it seems like the timing is just really weird. Like, okay, he knew and so he quit, or it was planned. I think those are really the two theories, and I don't see one stronger than the other.
Okay, so let me play this clip, which was also in the episode. This was Mooch talking about how he is on the block here. First,
Ricky does not use the veto on me, so it's time now for the Mooch to put knee pads on his elbows and get out there and schmooze everybody.
Brent, what is that? Knee pads on the elbows?
I guess bow down to people. I'm not familiar with that one. He's not talking about the Big Brother house. He's talking about getting over to Davos and schmooze with those people. That's what he's doing with the hoity-toities over
there. Listen to this. We'll see. But then the Mooch goes on.
Let's face it. I've been fired before, but I'm not a quitter.
Okay, now that this is striking that this is in there. Now, is this A, ironic that this is in there, or B, Brent, is this intentional?
Okay, one of two things has to be true. Either this is intentional and they're throwing shade at the Mooch, or the fact that the Big Brother producers are covering their own ass by calling him quitting a twist, because they specifically called it a twist, unless the twist that they're talking about is the fact that two people of the three people who are currently on the block, of which Mooch is not one of those people, are going home.
Okay.
Leon, I have so many questions.
All right. The plot's going to thicken. Okay. All right. Here we go. How about this? Let's go to a tweet from the official CBS Big Brother account tonight. This tweet reads, "Eagle eyes on the hashtag BB celeb hashtag BBLF spotted a missing house guest. Always expect the unexpected and tune in to see what happens. All may not be what it seems." What? What?
I don't get this. Is he going to be the America's player? Is he playing from Davos?
Where is the Mooch?
I don't understand. And then, of course, his memory wall picture was in color for a while, and now it's gray. So, I mean, and they took a while to do it, to be honest. So I don't know what the hell is happening.
Yes, Liana.
Well, I saw this tweet, and what I really liked about the tweet is the picture that went with it does feature all 12 house guests in it, but there's clearly a missing spot. There's only two people sitting on the block. There's an open spot. It's not the Mooch. It's just, I think, before Tom Green was actually nominated, but it heavily, heavily implies that they're going to be talking about the fact that one person that was on the block is no longer in the house. And then I spent the entire episode waiting for that to be addressed, and it was just never talked about. Then with the ominous confessional of the Mooch at the end talking about he's not a quitter. It was so odd.
Yeah. Is it possible that the Mooch will return to the house? Hear me out. Because in the Celebrity Apprentice days, and this is not a Trump connection, but there would be, in the later seasons of Celebrity Apprentice, there would be a lot of, this person has another obligation, they'll be back for the next task. Brent, is it possible that the Mooch returns to the house, that this was part of, that the CBS reached out to the Mooch? The Mooch was like, "Guys, I'd love to do the show, but you know, I got my thing in Davos. I gotta be there every year. I wish there was some way I could move this thing, but you know, I gotta be there for SkyBridge. That's my baby."
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's a possibility. Anything's a possibility with Celebrity Big Brother, the way they run things. And there is, I will notice something else, that as things currently stand, there were 11 people in the cast last year, and there are 12 people in the cast this year. If you have a final two, that means you have the possibility of a tie. So I don't understand why. I thought for sure, once we started realizing that he wasn't there, that it was just part of a twist and that he's not really part of the game, and he just left. like after like being a stunt casting for a couple episodes. But then I'm like, well, maybe he's not, like maybe he's actually going to return to the Big Brother house, but he's not actually a player that you can evict. He's just there, but he doesn't even give that great a television, Liana. So I don't know. And the crazy part, people, is that this isn't even the most interesting thing about what's going on in the Big Brother house right now. The whole thing about
I think we got to start there.
I know. I'm just saying, like this is like there are other things that are happening that are even crazier than this.
Mm-hmm. Now, Liana, now also, can you confirm that the veto, that there was another competition that was played that was a mooch themed competition? Now,
so they say. So they do not know that is fact. Yeah, the house guests, I think it was a mooch themed competition, right. But it could be like the fact that he left and then they had another competition and it was about the news in the week. Like the house guests might have thought it was mooch themed when in reality it wasn't, Liana.
That's the thing. It just adds to this whole craziness of the situation. The fact that there is another power of veto that we're going to play, it's not just, a second power of veto was awarded. I mean, obviously we saw the first power of veto competition play out. Now we're going to have a whole nother competition that is mooch themed, whether or not it was, maybe they connected it because he left. Like that just adds to the craziness of and bizarreness of this whole situation.
I mean, is this a crazy theory that the mooch is possibly that they knew this was happening, they're covering for him, that they've put this theory out there that he's a twist. And he's not any, and that's part of the twist. They're looking at him as like some sort of a saboteur. He's doing his thing, and then potentially could return, Brent.
I mean,
I believe that, but I think it is within the realm of possibility.
I mean, I guess. I mean, the house guests have even called him a saboteur at various points, Liana. So they're a mole or a saboteur. Like the house guests, just to be clear, the house guests are convinced that the mooch was either a mole or a saboteur. Like they think that. Apparently, he said something.
Where would they get that from?
But that was before the feed, so we don't know. Apparently, like he said something that alluded to that fact, Liana. So, and then combined with the competition, the fact that he wasn't a real player. Apparently, what he told them was he's not a real player. That's what we know that they said, but we haven't seen the evidence of that. So I'm trying to keep my story straight about what's really happening in the house right now. The point is that the mooch is not there, and because he's not there, now there's an empty spot on the block. And in that instance, when Mooch left and an empty spot opened up on the block, they required that Ryan name a replacement nominee. And that replacement nominee was Candy. So Candy now ends up on the block next to Jonathan and Tom Green. And then we have another veto competition.
Okay. Do we know how Candy ended up on the block?
No, or at least I'm not 100% sure. First of all, I just want to say that the mooch got upset because he had to wear giant oversized suits and look like a kid on every single piece of exercise or jungle gym equipment that was in the house. So that's why I think personally he quit. I don't think he was a mole. I just want to throw that out there.
You can tell.
Yeah, he was just upset. And even Kato Katelyn said he looked like a kid that was playing outside in front of the grocery store on one of those horses. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's why he left. He was just very upset. He couldn't handle it. But yeah, so then this leads into having the renom situation, like Brent mentioned, because now we have the mooch leave for some reason. And now all of a sudden Candy is up on the block, which that's what I was hoping the episode would address. One, why did the mooch leave? And then now set up why Candy is the one who's on the block.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
Exactly. We don't know.
We suspect Tamar, Brent.
I mean, I guess maybe this is because, I don't understand how, given what eventually happened, I don't understand how the trio of Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie and Tamar and Candy, avoided being renommed after the second veto ceremony, because the second veto competition takes place. Again, we didn't have feeds for any of this, so we're trying to piece this together from the house guests. So if I sound confused, I am confused. I got news for you. So
the second
veto competition takes place.
Okay.
The winner of that competition is Kato Katelyn. Kato Katelyn wins a veto, and he
what was the competition? OJ trivia?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I didn't even catch that. Like, that was the least of my worries last night. So Kato wins a veto, and he's going to use it to save Tom Green. And then we spent all of last night. That's when the feeds come on. We figure out that Kato Kaelin has a second veto. The veto ceremony hasn't happened yet, but he's going to use it to save Tom Green. They're trying to avoid Liana being seen as a pair, but he wants to save him nonetheless. And now Ryan's going to be forced to name a fifth house guest as a nominee. Shades of Cody Nixon from Big Brother 19, naming practically half the house as a nominee, keeping in mind that two people aren't even eligible to be nominated in the first place.
Yeah, I feel bad for Ryan, partially because, yeah, he had to nominate so many people, but also think about how many cue cards he had to read. The boy who reads like he learned reading from Hooked on Phonics. So I think that was a bit of a stretch for him to have to do all of that, and that just sucks. But you know, he did his job and somehow nominated half the house, but not Lolo Jones.
But not Lolo Jones and not Tamar Braxton. And they know that the thing this is the crazy part. So fast forward to today.
Yeah.
We're thinking. Jonathan is in trouble, and they know that he might be in a little trouble. You saw from the episode that they know that they are not set right now, that Jonathan may be in a little bit of danger here. So Ryan is trying to think of a way to make sure that Jonathan stays. And somebody who we haven't even talked about this entire episode, Joey Lawrence, who is tight, apparently, with Jonathan and Ryan. All of a sudden, and I don't even know, I was asking Liana how this came to be, because this is when I decided to go to sleep, because, you know, a bitch has got to sleep and the house guests are playing 24 hours, that Ryan names Joey Lawrence, who is in Ryan's back pocket, he names him as the pawn nominee and not Tamar, not Lolo Jones. After what we just saw in the episode, I don't understand how he did not name one of them as one of the nominees if he knows that Jonathan is in danger. But it appears that Jonathan, because I think they even brought up the potential of naming Lolo as a nominee, and Jonathan was like, no, if you do, that's going to seal my fate. So let's put up somebody who you know is going to vote to save you? I don't understand this.
You're angry.
I'm angry because the Big Brother, I don't know if the Mooch quitting was their own doing, but it looks like that they were in on the gag. And if they were in on the gag, combined with the twist with the HOH.
Well, who was in on the gag?
The Big Brother producers. If the Big Brother producers are in on the gag of the Mooch not being a real player, and they threw in this stupid twist that Taryn was mad about, the fact that the HOH and the other person, the power pair, have to split up and the loser has to be on the block, and there are going to be three nominees, and there are two veto competitions. It's just
You're getting
much.
Yourself too worked up, Brent.
Okay, here's the thing.
It's fine.
I don't
it's
understand.
Fine.
They had a great season last year, and all they had was a great cast and a great game. That's all you need. I don't understand why they're putting in all these shenanigans. It's insanity.
We're having fun. We're having fun so far, Brent.
And the cast. Rob, this is what I do. I get
outraged. You're spiraling. You're spiraling. Come back to us. Talk some sense into Brent.
All right, go ahead,
no, that ship sailed long ago. That's not possible. But I will say what I think happened. This is just my theory. I'm not sure if it's right, but I think the fact that Tamar and Candy had some sort of blow up that happened at some point, whether or not it was one of the ones that we saw on the feeds or something else that happened. So I think that what Jonathan and Ryan think is that Candy will be evicted by the women. And so I think that he thinks that with those three votes of Lolo, Natalie, and Tamar, that they will all vote to evict Candy. And so he thinks that they're solid. So essentially, they just didn't want to make any waves. Although, why Diane is not Diana, whatever her name
is. I didn't do it on purpose.
Well, I did do it on purpose. And then I realized I messed up the name that they messed up. So
they called her Diana. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. But that's sort of why I think, you know, why Lolo wasn't nominated and why Joey potentially was.
Yeah. Is it possible that Joey is somebody who wants to go and there was some idea that could save Jonathan, where maybe that Joey is going to rally votes for maybe it's my time, guys.
No, because that's somebody that they need. I mean, the problem was that Joey doesn't really care if he's there. So when Ryan went to him and said, hey, do you mind if I use you as a pawn? Joey's answer was, oh, yeah, sure. Which and, you know, any of the other celebrities would have said no, but this idiot says, oh, sure. And thus it allows them to compound their own mistake and name him as the replacement nominee. And it just wasn't the right play. I watched a Taryn on Twitter saying, and I don't know this to be true, but he's right that it was a bad play because by naming Joey as the replacement nominee, it elevates the chances that Jonathan is going to go home. And when he's sitting there on the block next to two people who really are not playing very well or playing much at all in Joey and Candy, if Jonathan goes home on Friday, I have my issues with him, but he's playing his ass off right now. And I really don't want to see him go home against two people who are basically non-entities in the Big Brother game right now.
Okay. Liana, if we have to whip up the votes for heading into Friday night, do we have any idea what it will look like?
So, I mean, it's difficult when you have people who, you know, like Dina Lohan, where you have just absolutely no idea where her head is right? Or is that Ricky Williams, whose head is in the clouds, so it's hard to tell what he's up to. But I think, you know, I think the women, I think Tamar Lolo and Natalie will all vote together. It's just, I think they're going to vote for Jonathan. I think Jonathan's goose is cooked. I think, you know, he really has dug himself into a hole and it's going to be difficult for him to get out of that one.
Well, I think that Ricky is going to vote with the women. I think Tamar is going to vote for Candy. Look, we got 2 days until the eviction, so I don't know if this is going to hold, Rob. But Tamar has been really, really mad with Candy. And she has said over the course of the last 24 hours that no matter what, she's going to vote to evict her because she doesn't want to look like a fool on the feed. So she's going to vote to evict Candy. Remember, there's three people on the block, only seven people voting. So if Cato and Tom are really the people who control what happens here, from my opinion, because if Lolo and Natalie vote to evict Jonathan, we're going to assume that Dina votes to evict. Well, I don't know who she's going to vote. She probably vote to evict Candy, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know, because they know that Tamar is voting to evict Candy. Then Cato, Kaelin, and Tom Green would control really what happens here. So it doesn't look good for Jonathan from where I'm sitting right now. He's going to have to, here's the thing. I think he needs to go to the women or go to the men, anybody, and just fall on the sword and say, you know what? I feel like I'm in trouble here. And I just want you guys to know, this means a lot to me. I really want to be here. And, you know, I don't have a lot going on in my life right now. That may or may not be true, but just try to prey on their empathy for him and say, you know, I really need this for my career right now. Like, I can't go home.
You think that'll work?
I think it might. I think it might. But the thing is, I don't even know if he knows I don't know if he knows that he's in this much danger. Otherwise, they wouldn't have named Joey as the replacement nominee when they know that Joey would do whatever they want.
Yeah. Brent, don't be too upset if Jonathan is going to go home. It's going to be fine because he got into a bad situation and it has put him up against the wall to start. But I think that he probably has the most capacity to be able to really control what's going to happen in this house the rest of the way. So let him go and let this season be a hot mess, because without him there, who knows how this is going to go. I want this season sloppy.
I like this season sloppy too, but I don't feel like Ricky Williams is that sloppy. Jonathan is a good player, but he's not a great player, and he is prone to making many, many mistakes. And so I feel like that he's more messy than the two of them. So I kind of want him to stay because he wants it more and he's messy.
Leon, but I think he got himself into a corner, but he had the vision of okay, well, we'll have these seven and we'll pick off these people one at a time and then we'll get it down to this. That I think that this could have been very cut and dry if Jonathan had his way. And I don't like that.
Jonathan has been a little sloppy on the blocky. I will say that. But yeah, I mean, he has played really hard. And I think that move of before you know that you're for sure on the block, you have this potential power of HOH. And that's when you want to use that leverage, try to pull together a group. And it was very exciting. And I hope that he stays in the house because, like Brent said, he is playing really hard and he will cause a lot of chaos. And I would like that entity to stay in the house.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions from the listeners of the podcast. Let's start. Isaac Christensen says, is turtlenecking the new blanketing? Who was turtlenecking?
Tamar.
Yeah, Tamar was.
Tamar.
Yeah. Right? It was when she had the glasses on and she pulled it up, her turtleneck, all the way over her head. Okay.
She's good.
I think that's what it was.
So good. Okay. This is one from Marcus who says, is this one of the fastest alliance implosions in a Big Brother? Well, these early alliances never really stick, right? Rarely.
rarely. You know, people are surprised, as Kristen McInnes tweeted on Twitter, that alliances that are made in, you know, 5 hours end up imploding during the first week. This reminds me of, again, Cody Nixon, Big Brother 19, an alliance that's put together fast, comes on the feeds, looks like they're doing well, and then, you know, a couple of days later, everything implodes. Of course, you know, the temptation power caused some of that to happen, but Cody's own play caused some of that to happen, and that whole alliance that we thought was going to run the show ended up not even being a thing after 1 week. And that's where we are right now with an alliance that, you know, we were talking about last night, is Jonathan did good to round up these numbers. And, you know, given the circumstances and the mechanics of the game, he had to do this. Like, none of those people are basically working with him right now. Like, it's completely, it's like it never happened.
Okay. Question from the Melissa bot, who says, who had the better default shocked face, Lochte or Alec Christie?
I like both. Although Lochte, that was like the maximum effort that his three brain cells could put together. So good on him. I think that that was truly a shocked face.
I think that the person who's giving us the most shocked face is Jonathan Bennett, because I can tell the difference between his real shocked face and his fake shocked face. His fake shocked face is when he was standing on stage. Yes, he does fake. Like I told Amon on Twitter, like I said, you fell for this bitch, because when Jonathan was standing on the stage and the mooch came out, his, of course, I know it's an audio podcast, but he was like, huh? Like that. Like it was just, it was fake.
Was that,
but
that then, was fake.
It was. And, but then when Julie revealed that the power pair was going to have to split up, and that, because Jonathan is a fan of the show. And so he's just thinking, oh, I'm just going to hand HOH to Ryan Lochte, and I'll be the man behind the curtains controlling everything. But no, bitch, you're going to be on the block. And when she told him that, that was the real shock face from Jonathan Bennett. And y'all need to go screen cap that right now.
Okay, we'll go take a look. On one side, fake shock face.
Thank you.
And on the other side, real shock
face. It's in his eyes. It's in his eyes. Real. Look for it.
Okay, here we go. Our good friend Mike Bloom, he says, what would Brent and Liana rather put up with the incessantly? Tom Green's testicle jokes, or is that Milk from Drag Race talking about farting?
Yeah.
This is Brent's favorite. I'll let him take it, the
is, is Milk from Drag Race lactose intolerant, Brent?
Yeah, I think I can't remember. I actually forget Milk talking about the farting. I know that it drove me nuts on the podcast. And Liana,
is that what happened to Jonathan?
Yeah, something like that. Liana, what happened here with Milk and the farting?
Yeah. This was the Milk kept doing the farting thing, and you were like, oh my God, I hate this so much. Yeah. This drives me crazy.
It's so like a straight boy bathroom humor. Like, it's just, of course, Milk isn't a straight boy, but still, it was terrible. It was a bad look. So I would rather put up with Tom Green and his testicle jokes. At least he puts a different spin on it every time, because you can only do a fart one way, basically. And his testicle jokes have, like, apparently 10 different iterations.
Okay. All right. Gotta get mileage out of it, Brent. You gotta put the silver lining for everything. Okay. All right. Let's go to the great Puya, who says, subsequently, would you rather be gooped or woed?
Gooped. I think am I allowed to say whoa? I can say whoa, but he won't say whoa.
He won't say it. You so can say it.
Whoa. I can say it. Oh, okay.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I'd say. Yeah, this isn't close. Ixnay on the whoa. Like, I'd rather be gooped like Monique Hart. Rob, I was gooped by the feeds that came on last night trying to put together what happened.
Is that good or bad? You want to be gooped?
It just depends
shocked.
On what...
But yeah. Like Jonathan Bennett's real shocked face, not the fake one.
That's Thank when you get gooped. Okay. All right. Let's take this question from Kieran. I just feel like none of the guys have a chance to win the game. Do you think it's fair to say that none of the guys can win the game? I'd say unfair. Unfair that the guys can't win the game.
So at first I wasn't thinking guys as in the males of the house. I was thinking everyone within the house. And I was like, yeah, there's no way anyone is going to win this game. This is a mess. Okay. We're not going to have a single winner.
That would be a fun season.
I could see Ricky Williams winning.
Tyrion was talking about last night the fact that he's just basically laying, you know, sitting in the background with all these big celebrity heads around him. If he gets a lucky comp here at the end, he could definitely walk into a win.
But what we saw tonight was not that, Brent. What we saw that Tyrion said, look, I just want him to be like a bump on a log and then win a competition at the end.
I still think that him winning this veto competition and not even using it in the manner that he did, I know that he tried to create a little bit of sparks, but he's still watching him on the feeds. He's still a bump on a log. So he's still got that going for him. No one is talking about Ricky Williams right now.
OK, Liana, if you had to pick one man to win this thing, who you got?
Ricky Williams. I really think with Mark McGrath's success last year, success, I will put in air quotes. But I think that Ricky Williams, he's somebody who no one is talking about. Everybody seems to like. And he's somebody who was able to win a veto and then not be in the competitions in the conversations as someone who is really a competition threat. So I don't know if this is a slow and steady wins the race type situation. And I know this is only 3 weeks, but he could ride it slow and steady all the way to the end.
I'm not convinced totally. I would put my money more on Kato Kaelin because he is in an alliance with Tom Green. I feel like the house is afraid of Tom Green, at least in the back of their minds. If they're ever on the block as a pair, Tom Green, I feel like, is going to go home. So that's a little bit of a meat shield for Kato. And he also has the veto under his belt. So and he seems to want it more. He seems to be enjoying himself more than Ricky. Although Ricky just, like, by virtue of the fact that Ricky is more reserved, I may be misreading him on that, but it doesn't look to me like Ricky's having a blast of a time in there.
Okay.
He needs deserves.
Yes. All right. The great Edward Morris writes in, is Diana Lohan really in the house? Now, is it true that I heard that Dina Lohan is in Davos and has been for the last 5 days?
Well, Liana, I'm like you. Like, they're saying it wrong so many times. Now I'm going to start saying it wrong. Like, I had to look up her spelling because I've seen it intentionally misspelled so many times. Like, she's there. She's playing. She's just not giving us much right now.
No, I think Diona Lohan really is a strong believer in economic strength and really would need to be in Davos. So it clearly was planned the whole time. She's not in the house at all.
Okay. All right. This is a question from James. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad are Kato's OJ jokes? I'm going to go with an 8.
Okay. A scale of 1 to 10. But again, that's all he's got, guys.
What else do you want him to talk about?
His picture for the intro is him on the stand at the trial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. All right, with the hair. Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah.
Okay. This is a question from Tim. It says, do you think any celebrities will walk out since Julie dropped this new twist at the end that might explain the Mooch and his absence? Well, are we looking for somebody else to drop out after the Mooch is gone?
I mean, I don't think that anybody's going to quit. The only person that I thought came close to quitting was Tamar because she ended up going in the diary room last night. As you saw in the diary room on the show tonight, and I think they might have taken that from last night, actually. She was doing some ugly crying. She was really upset with Candy to the point where I was concerned that she wasn't going to come back because the celebrities were talking about the fact that she'd been in there a hell of a long time. But she did come back. She said previously when going into the house that she's a fan of the show, she wants to be on the show, that she would, over her dead body, she would quit. So I don't think she would quit, and I don't think anybody else will. What do you think?
There was a tweet that was from Big Brother Daily Updates that happened while the show was going on. So this was at 5:30 Big Brother time, where Kato Kaelin was talking about that Tamar's going to leave, and then Tom says, like, quit. Kato says, yeah, like Meta World Peace did. And Kato said it's something because she seems to be missing her son, so she had to leave. So that was something that did come up while the show was airing, so I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility.
I hate it when people blame it on their kids. No offense, but like, you know what your life's like when you go in the Big Brother house, you make a commitment, you follow through with it. And then, you know, because it makes it hard for me to throw shade at her if she does end up quitting by saying, oh, well, I miss my kids. We all miss somebody.
Oh, God. Yeah. I want to go back to the Mooch in terms of how we are going to sort of work this in as a twist. How are they going to do it? If he quits, did they just have him say in the diary room, like, this was my plan all along. It was a Mooch bomb and I'm just walking out now, Liana? How could they possibly sell that as a twist if he quit?
This is like the Gronk cruise from BB17 that it's the, I don't know, the SkyBridge-sponsored flight to Davos, Switzerland for the Economic Forum, and he won. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. What an amazing twist. I have no idea. I'm so curious to see how this is going to play out, because I know, Rob, you did the conspiracy podcast on Renap, and I would like to throw in this one when you do it again.
Okay.
Because I think that there is a conspiracy theory here about Big Brother trying to cover it up with this twist that is happening, even though I think that somehow, I don't know, this was planned or he quit, but there's something fishy here.
Yeah, I want to play this quote again from the end of the episode to see if, as we've talked it through, if anything else makes sense. Oh, and I have the sound off. Okay, and... Take two.
Plus, a shocking new twist will send a second celebrity packing.
A shocking new twist will send a celebrity packing. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Where if he quit, why would that be a twist?
Right. That's what I don't understand. Okay, here's, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm usually bad at this, but I'll try, Liana. I think what's going to happen is that they're going to acknowledge that Mooch quit or something. I think he quit. I don't think it was a twist. I think he quit. And I think the twist is that it's going to be a vote to save on Friday night, and that two people are going to go home. That's what I think is going to happen. I think that it's going to be a vote to save. Just like on Big Brother Canada.
Three people by the end of Friday night.
Yes.
And then Mooch will come back.
Well, maybe. We don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, the language of we'll send another celebrity packing does make it sound like they're sending someone home. Like, there was no decision that was made. Like, this is a twist within the game mechanics that will send another person home. But I just still don't understand how the Mooch gets factored into all of this. And it just seems like the episode is setting him up with that final quote that he has about the fact that he got fired, but he's not a quitter. There's something in my bones that tells me that it has to do with what we're going to see on this next episode. But
yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, in the past, how has Big Brother handled this situation? They put out that tweet today. They put that quote in there. Are they just trying to make the Mooch look bad by putting that in there? Because I kind of feel like they could have buried him worse if they wanted to.
I don't know. Maybe they should take an ad out on busted.com because the Mooch got busted.
Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. And see, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, Leon, all we have is questions here. The questions going into Friday night are, what happened to the Mooch? Did he quit or was it a twist? And are two people going to go home who are currently on the block, or is it only one person that's going
to
go home?
And is he coming back? And
I think that's not that's fake news. That's Rob fake news. But
fake news.
Hey, yeah. If he comes back, you heard it here first.
I mean, he's over in Davos right now. So, like, I don't see him just like he's got things to do, Rob. He's not going to come back.
OK, but the real question is, he athletic or is he athletic?
Athletic.
Athletic. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's see what Mac has to say about Lolo Jones. Brent, can you make this out?
Hey, Rob Sestrino, don't you think this was the best ever CBS Big Brother episode? Even in regular, this is just way too blurry for me. Sorry. I'm sorry. I can't.
Sorry.
So I'm trying.
Mac has a Lolo meme, but text is too small. Can't make it out. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Laura says, was Ryan Lochte channeling Grant? We don't like it. Hey, let's leave Grandpa Lou out of this, okay?
What's Ryan Lochte channeling Grandpa Lou?
All right. Ari Ferrari, the great Ari Ferrari. Did winning the veto put a target on Ricky Williams, or do you think that he can still lay in the weeds? Maybe. He's laying the weeds, stirring the pot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though he won a veto, Liana, I think he can still lay in the weeds.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it was a major blunter. still continue on.
Okay.
Well done.
Let's go to Stan's funeral. What are the odds that Lochte has had a single DR that wasn't fed to him by production? I think that everybody knows Lochte is a gifted comedian. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What are you talking about here? He's been pretty funny, and whatever they're giving him, I'm buying it right now. He's fun in the diary room.
Okay. All right. And then do we have another one? Okay. No more questions. All right. So before we start to wrap things up, okay. What else, Brent?
I don't know. I think I've used up all my energy, like, ranting about other things tonight. So, I don't know. I want Tamar to calm down. I want her and Candy to get along. Tom Green's looking good, safe this week. And I have full faith in his abilities. Again, knock off the testicle jokes. But aside from that, I think he's going to be very fun to watch. And the house guests should be watching out for him. I think there are other entities in the house that are making themselves into be bigger targets. Obviously, right now, they can't go after Ryan Lochte. But if they do send Jonathan Bennett home, I have to believe that they're going to want to get rid of Ryan Lochte as well, as he is a clear physical threat in the house. And he's not a complete idiot either. I know he seems like that in the way he talks, but he's a relatively smart guy, I think. So, okay.
But overall, are you in good spirits?
I am in good spirits. Okay, it's been a really fun ride so far. And Tamar Braxton and Candy Burris.
That's all we want.
They're giving me life. Yes. Rob, here's the thing. I've told people this one on RuPaul's Drag Race. I can't watch these shows and not put my full passion into it. I mean, so that's why it comes off the way. But I'm not unhappy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not unhappy.
Okay. All right. Liana, this was so nice to get to catch up with you tonight.
Yes, this was a lot of fun. I'm happy to talk about all of the messiness that is Celebrity Big Brother. I am extremely happy, just having a blast. Love every single moment. I'm here for it all.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Okay. Liana, I had heard that you were heading over to the World Economic Forum after this.
Yeah, actually, right after this, I gotta go. Hosting some panels. Oh, my God. Part of my contract, actually. I was a mole the whole time.
The truth comes out. Of course, you could hear Brent and Liana on the RuPaul's Drag Race Rehap Up on our Rehap Ups podcast. How is the new season?
It's been great. It's been fun. It's All Stars. And then the new season 11, Liana, is coming right around the corner. And I heard that they are casting for season 12. So we have plenty of RuPaul's Drag Race in our future.
Okay.
Yes.
Plenty of that as well. Okay. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast, robswebsite.com. News AF. Yes. Danny Tyson and I talked about the hottest new trend in baby gender reveal parties. Baby gender reveal lasagna, Brent.
I saw that. That looks so gross.
Yes.
I watched Jessica and Cody's gender reveal party on Instagram. That was actually fun. But lasagna was like pink or blue. Like, this is terrible. Like, why would you even do that?
Hey, you got to eat at these gender reveal parties.
That's fair.
Well,
that's
the fair. The Mooch is real Italian, and he was so upset. I heard that he fled the country and left for Switzerland.
Only a mole would have a gender reveal lasagna party. Okay, Bachelor wrap up. Check out what Amy and Haley had to say about episode number 3 of Bachelor Colton's quest to find love and more on our Bachelor Rehap Up. And then on Thursday morning, Taryn will be back to talk about everything that's going on. Who knows what could happen by tomorrow morning. We had our first Big Brother live feed update. If you want to hear what Taryn and Matt Liguori had to say about it all, that's up in the podcast feed as well, or in all the same ways that you're watching this podcast. And then as well, Friday morning, again, get ready for the first live eviction with the next live feed update. Those are all going to be 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and you can see them on robinswebsite.com, or if you're subscribed to the podcast, you can get the audio soon thereafter. We'll be back again Friday night to talk about it all at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time, 6:15 Pacific on Friday night. And of course, if you are interested in going on a deeper dive into all this crazy podcasting with us and becoming a part of the Rob Is a Podcast patron community, you could support the podcast by going to robiswebsite.com/patron to see about all the benefits we have for you. If you so desire to become a patron of Rob Is a Podcast, we appreciate it greatly and could not do it without you. All right. So That's going to do it for us here tonight. Yes, Brent.
I wanted to ask really quickly. I think that, I mean, I haven't talked to Taryn, but I think we are going to do an LFC show this week. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or not. I'll have to ask him, but we'll try and work something out. By the way, I want to ask Liana two things. Number one, not to objectify you, but you look so good tonight. Like the 2019 is looking good on you. Secondly, are you doing Liana Saturdays for Taryn's updates in the morning?
Yes, I will be back for Liana Saturdays. We've upgraded to a fancy schmancy Google calendar, and I'm confirmed for
Saturday. Confirmed. Okay. All right.
Yes, I have that calendar. I just never look at it. Thanks.
Yes. And the chat was also saying, yes, Winter of Stein coming tomorrow. I do not think that we are planning to do it live, that we are going to record that, but then we will have that posted for you by Thursday night, the Winter of Stein. So if you have questions, hashtag Winter of Stein, or you could email winterofstein@robhasawebsite.com. Such a fun show tonight. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and thanks to all of you for checking us out. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Rob as a Podcast. 60 seconds, that's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right, in the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. And after that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers that you need so there's no surprises, and then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.